we are a 129-year-old organization. We were founded in 1880, and our claim to fame back then was that we started the Good Roads Movement that persuaded the Congress to initiate the first program to pave our road system and road network. And today we have a mission of promoting bicycling for transportation, for fun, for fitness, and we have about 25,000 members around the country. And we've just brought about 500 of them up to Capitol Hill to talk with their members of Congress about issues that affect cyclists. And one of the specific projects that we're working on right now with a small grant from GSA is to look at, in the National Capital Area, federal workplaces and how they can be made more accessible both now and in the future for bicycling, which is obviously a smart way to go if you can do it. Our task is to help make sure more people can.
And so how would they go about doing it? I mean, are you talking about, you know, that the federal government gives a subsidy to people who take public transportation to work. Do you envision the same kind of thing for cyclists?
Actually, that was the economic recovery bill last fall. The extension of that tax credit or tax benefit, if you like, to cyclists, which is something we've been pushing for many years. And Congressman Blumenauer in the House and Senator Wyden in the Senate were extremely helpful in getting that legislation passed. So that benefit, smaller than the transit and parking benefit right now, but that benefit does exist and is now available for cyclists. But we're also looking at, for example, the EPA downtown has a great parking facility, lockers, showers, secure parking that enables a lot more people to feel comfortable riding because there's a place to clean up and a secure place to park their bike. Those are the kinds of things that in terms of office buildings make a huge difference. And then just access, making sure that the streets around federal buildings are accessible and safe and they've got bike lanes and parking and so forth, makes a huge difference to people's willingness to give it a shot.
I was wondering if you work with the local governments and the county governments that surround Washington, because I actually used to ride 22 miles from my house to a job right near Union Station. And the biggest issue was something that it's really a state and government, a state and local issue, county issue, and that is just the shoulders of so many of the roads are in such lousy condition, either they're broken up or they're not swept, that just would make biking a lot easier if they just cleaned up the shoulders.
Yes, that is a huge issue, and congratulations for riding that far. That's above and beyond the call. That's further than I go each day. But yes, that's a huge issue, and we do have a program called the Bicycle Friendly Communities Program that sort of rewards and recognizes communities that go that do those kinds of things to improve conditions for cyclists. But it also lays out kind of a roadmap for what those communities, whether they be a city or county or regional government, what they can and might be doing. So in this area, Arlington County stands out as being more bicycle friendly than others. And they have a silver level designation and are pushing on towards gold. D.C. is a bronze, pushing on to silver, and we're still hoping that some of the other communities in the area will step up to the plate and start making things better. I live in Fairfax County, and there are a handful of great trails, but the road system is far from ideal for cyclists right now, and there's a lot more that the county can and should be doing to improve things.
We're talking to Andy Clark, president of the League of American Bicyclists, about bicycling to your federal job. Now, there was a proposal not too long ago about sharing bikes or bike sharing.
Yeah.
There would be, I guess, bikes that were parked at various locations, and you could, for a fee, partake in the bike, and then you drop it off at another location. Would that be helpful, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, the D.C. area is unique in having, I think, currently three small-scale examples of this program in place. The big idea really kind of came to the fore a couple of years ago when the city of Paris in France put in 20,000 bikes in hundreds of stations all over the city and really transformed the way people thought about getting around the city. And it was just very easy to hop on a bike and ride to the next station and use the system. So that kind of captured people's imaginations. And in the D.C. area, There's the Smart Bike program, which is has about 130 bikes in nine stations around around the downtown area. But both the Park Service internally and the House of Representatives have smaller scale programs with about 20-25 bikes that that can be used by employees to get from one building to the other, or to run errands and such like. So we're hoping that that one day DC will have a system to match that of Paris and Copenhagen and other world-class capital cities like that. We're taking the baby steps at the moment to see how it works.
And do you have any idea at this point, a rough idea, how many people do bike to work into the central district of, well, the central federal triangle area in the environs of the District of Columbia from the outside areas?
Yeah, you know, I don't have an exact number, but I do know that on Bike to Work Day, which is coming up in the middle of May, in previous years, the number of people registered for that event has gone up to now over 7,000, and that's just a portion of the people that every day get on their bikes and ride. And that doesn't include all the people that also ride to transit or will put their bikes on the bus and use that as their primary mode. And one of our biggest challenges is actually that we don't do a very good job of counting the number of people out there riding and walking, and we think that whatever number is out there is probably underestimates the volume of people that actually do ride their bikes for all variety of purposes. So we're looking forward to seeing that number continue to grow and working with the federal agencies and Congress to make that happen.
Do you think it's money or just mussiness that prevents people from actually riding bikes to work? Because frankly speaking, if I'm a woman in a federal agency and I'm wearing a business suit, the idea of riding a bike to work, not very appealing.
Yeah, you know, one of the speakers that we had at our National Bike Summit a couple of weeks ago was from Copenhagen. And yes, it's a different city and a different country and a different culture. But the thing that was striking to me, in a city where 36% of all trips to and from work and school are made by bike, is that people are wearing perfectly ordinary street clothes. There's no special get-up that you have to, you feel like you have to dress up into to get on your bike and ride. And the bikes are very practical and very functional, and the city just works. And it's the reason people ride is that it's easy and convenient. I think here we've sort of positioned cycling as a bit of a
eccentric, almost
eccentric. One could say that, I suppose. So you have to have the special gear and the fancy clothes and the nice bike and all the rest of it, and that really isn't the case. So I think part of our challenge is to make cycling take it back to being a much more mainstream, normal activity, where people do feel comfortable just hopping on a bike and riding whatever they're wearing, without feeling as if they have to dress up. Especially, you don't have to go fast. You don't have to be, you know, Lance Armstrong every time you get on the bike and get to and from work.
Well, that's who's out there today. I mean, generally speaking, the people who are biking to work really are enthusiasts, I think.
I think that's true, and I think that in part because the conditions aren't ideal yet, or aren't even good yet, that you really have to be fairly determined. And fortunately, a lot of people are. But what we see around the country is that as you move to places that are more accommodating, and even places like Boulder, Colorado, or Portland, Oregon, that have been doing this for many, many years, is that with the investment, with the encouragement, people really do change behavior. And what I noticed going to somewhere like Portland, Oregon, where now they've had a 490% increase in the amount of people bicycling in the last 18 years, what I see is a much greater diversity and mix of people riding. People of all ages and abilities, people wearing ordinary clothes as well as the racing gear, and that, I think, as more people ride and more people are encouraged to do it, it becomes a more normal mainstream thing, and we begin to sort of change the face of cycling and make it more accessible for everybody, because we do know that people do want to get out on their bikes and ride. We know that the health and fitness reasons are there, the environmental reasons are there, and people love that feeling they had when they were kids riding their bikes, exploring the neighborhood, discovering their community, and meeting people. They want to recapture that. Our job is to give them the opportunity and make that possible for them.